$1,000 in federal and state incentives.
About 13.5, actually.
13.5. Okay, so my question for you, because I have my opinions on this, but should the feds be subsidizing EVs to the tune of about, this is the federal, the feds, not the state, should they be subsidizing $7,500 for an EV vehicle?
Yeah, that's one of the most common criticisms, and unfortunately, electric vehicles have been politicized unnecessarily. I think what you found is when President Obama said that he was going to buy a Chevy Volt when he was out of office, all of a sudden a lot of folks said, oh, well, then it must be Obama's car, when in fact it was already well in development long before he showed up on the scene. But $7,500 is not a small sum of money, but you have to keep it in perspective. Yeah, one of the things that a lot of folks don't know is that we spend about $83 billion on military spending every year to protect fuel supplies, oil lines, like coming out of the Persian Gulf, et cetera.
So I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah. So if you take that $83 billion and divide it by the number of new cars that are sold in America today, that translates to about a $6,000 implied subsidies to get the fuel here. And I think more importantly, talking about the military here in Colorado Springs, Department of Defense had a stat that was released a couple weeks ago, said that 1 out of 50 missions protecting fuel supplies results in the death or injury of a soldier. And to me, that is just unacceptable because it's unnecessary now. Hmm. When you can get your fuel locally, it by default, it has to be produced here. Whether it's the hydro plant up the hill or even the coal plant downtown, you're creating jobs locally. You're getting us out of the Persian Gulf where we don't need to be anymore.
Okay, so let me throw this out at you. Obviously, with more use of electricity, we're going to have to produce more power plants.
Not necessarily.
Nuclear.
Nuclear is a whole another debate. We could probably go another hour on that one. But the Electric Power Research Institute is a group that's funded by the major utilities around the country. And they did a study, found that we can add about 160 million electric vehicles to the grid without having to really upgrade the grid or create new power plants if we can time the charging right. And the vast majority of charging is done at home,
at night
mm-hmm. when we have excess supply anyway. And coal plants take a long time to spin up and shut down. So they usually are kept running, even if there's no place for that power to go. So essentially, we're just filling in some gaps.
Did you say 160,000?
160 million.
You said 160 million. You did.
I did.
How many cars on the road? Well, I mean, seriously.
That's good. There's a lot of excess capacity. And, one thing to keep in mind is that the grid has been very flexible over the last century or so. We added air conditioning. We added electric dryers. We added solar. We added plasma screen TVs. An electric vehicle is equivalent to about 4 plasma screen TVs. Go to any cul-de-sac, and I'm sure you can count 4 right away. So, it's not a big of an impact as most people think, especially if we can get the charging done at night when we have a lot of excess capacity. And that actually brings costs down for everybody if we can be more efficient that way.
So assuming that a specific percentage, let's say, did they tell you what percentage needs to be charged at night? Did they have that kind of research, that availability?
No, but just the charging habits are, 65% of Americans have a single or driveway or garage where they can charge at night, and it just makes a lot of sense. And honestly, what they're doing in most of the country is the utilities are offering cut-rate electrons if you can charge between midnight and 6 a.m. when there is a lot of excess capacity.
Okay. Now, I'm going to throw this out to you. My ex-father-in-law is also in the EV business, as you know. Tell me, because I know the answer, but I'm going to have you answer this. Fact of the matter is a car cannot be fully charged in 5 minutes, the same time it would take to fill up a car, okay? So it's going to take hours.
Not yet.
Not yet. But from what I understand, in order to do that, you need some severe power. That's what I've been told by the battery expert himself.
With current technology, right?
Right, current technology. So let's say you were to go coast to coast. I want to know about the charging stations. What's the plan for the charging stations?
Well, we are still quite a ways off to drive an EV from coast to coast, unless you're talking about something like the Tesla Model S, where you can get about 300 miles. And if you have the right charging system, you can do that in a day and charge up for about a half an hour, an hour, and then do it again. But, you know, we'll get there. It's not going to be perfect for everybody, but it's going to meet the needs for most families. And what the analysts are predicting is that we're going to see families with one electric vehicle and then one conventional or hybrid vehicle for the road trips.
Conventional being combustion engine. What do you call them?
A ICE vehicle. ICE.
Internal combustion engine. Okay. So you know a little bit about charging stations. Are they mostly going to be at the homes, or are they going to be at filling stations, company? Where are they going to be all over the country? What's
first place prediction? Is going to be at home. That's where most people keep their car at night. Second place is going to be the workplace. That would be the most logical place where the car spends a significant amount of time not doing anything. Then after that, it becomes public stations, places like malls, movie theaters, downtown parking garages, etc. So there's going to be a variety of different places to charge. You know, there are 6,000 charge point stations, which is the largest network in the country right now. And, you know, downtown Boston, for example, there's 70 places you can charge your electric vehicle.
Oh, what company is it?
Charge Point.
Okay. So what are their – do you have any idea what their expansion plans are on a nationwide scale?
They plan to remain the dominant network around the country. They have about a 50% market share already. So half of all EV drivers have a ChargePoint account. Totally free to be a member of ChargePoint. You get a card. You can come up to a ChargePoint station, use your ChargePoint card, which is like a Starbucks card. You just load it up with cash. Although about 60% of the stations are still free today. You can use your iPhone.
Wait, so if they're free, so where's the revenue coming from?
For a retail establishment, for example, is going to come from increased business from EV drivers. It's a very loyal bunch. They will seek out places to go charge.
Oh, okay. So the retail establishments are actually paying ChargePoint to have their charging stations at their facility. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a small monthly fee to manage it.
So the consumer isn't – the EV owner is not paying for – the ability to use these charge points.
Yeah, again, about 60% are free. With the charge point system, the host site can choose to charge whatever they want to charge, whatever they think the market will bear. But yeah, most retail establishments are doing it just to attract customers. Other places will charge a nominal fee, but it's still about 60% are just wide open. A good example is the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. Yeah, you know, they put it in because they want to have clean air and want to add an extra amenity, and you just walk up to it and it's totally free.
What other charge points are here in Colorado?
There's a couple. There's one at the National Renewable Energy Lab. There's one at a supplier.
Because I go there all the time, so I'm glad they have that. That makes all the sense in the world.
I tell you, NREL is actually a great field trip, especially if you have kids. They have a fantastic visitor center. but we're adding quite a few. There's a hotel in the Highlands Ranch area of Denver that has a charge point station. And in fact, I think hotels are going to be one of the earlier adopters.
Makes sense. Tell us a little bit. We have about 4 more minutes. Tell us a little bit about home charging stations.
Sure. They're actually pretty reasonable. You can get one for as low as about $800. It's no more complicated than putting an electric dryer plug in your garage. So for those electric heads out there, you want to put on a 40-amp breaker. So it's really not rocket science.
Okay, wait. I'm no electric head. Okay, so seriously, go to an electrician.
Tell them you want to put in a 40-amp breaker in your garage and electric charging station, and any electrician that is licensed can take a look at it and say, oh, this is a piece of cake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so are there different levels?
So when you buy an electric vehicle, like a Leaf or a Volt, you get what's called a level one cord set in the trunk, and you can plug that into your 110 outlet. It does take a little while to charge. What a lot of owners are doing, they buy a level two charging station, and that's where you go to the 220 volt. So again, like an electric dryer in your home, and that will cut the charge time down by at least half.
Cost?
Cost of these, they start about $800. They'll go up depending on the features. And then installation is generally somewhere in the neighborhood of about $800, depending on the electrician you find to do it, and whether it's close to your electric service panel or whether it's a long conduit run.
So the 110 volt, the level one, that's good. It's anywhere from 8 to 20 hours. Is that what you said?
Can be, yeah.
But that's free, obviously, because you're just plugging into a 110.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So why would it cost, if I'm going to put in a 220, why is it going to cost me money to do that? Other than to pay the electrician, but it's, help me out.
Well, the benefit is, Americans are impatient by nature. Yeah, they want to be ready to go.
No.
And in fact, I'm going to be putting in a 220 in my garage very soon here. But the other the other benefit for it is as the utilities do roll out these EV charging rates, where you get discounted electrons during the off-peak hours, you're going to want to have charging go faster so you can take advantage of it. You're not going to be able to squeeze into the off-peak period purely on the level one.
Okay, that makes some sense. Now, we don't have much time, but I do want to. I have a list of manufacturers that are throwing out the EVs. You have a better list than I do. Looks like I like your list. Why don't you throw out to the audience just real quick? Tell us some of the vehicles.
Yeah, just to give you an idea of how many vehicles are going to be coming on the road, and that's why I think this is going to be a real revolution, is that every major automaker is getting behind it. Chevy has the Volt. They're coming out with the Spark, which is an all-electric small car.
Is that equivalent to the Nissan Leaf?
Spark is going to be a little bit smaller, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be like the Aveo that they have today, or the Sonic.
Okay.
Nissan has the Leaf. They're coming out with a van based on the Leaf, so it's going to be about Mazda 5 size. Ford has the Focus Electric that's already on sale in California, New York, and New Jersey. Next year, they have the Fusion Energy coming out, which is a plug-in hybrid, much like the Volt. And then they're also going to have the C-Max Hybrid Energy, which is, again...
And that's a Ford product.
That's going to be a Ford product, kind of a mini minivan that's been very popular in Europe. BMW has a whole new line of cars coming out, the i-line. They're going to have the i3, which is going to be a small compact car with an optional two-cylinder range extender from their motorcycle line. And then the i8, which some people may have seen, the prototype in Mission Impossible 4, which is a real, real hot car.
Okay, I'm going to expand. We're going to expand upon this on the next segment. But for now, we got to go for a quick break. This is Auction Access Radio Program. You're listening to 1300 The Animal.
The Sky Sox extended their winning streak to 5 games with a 5-4 win over Tacoma earlier today at Security Service Field. Carlos Torres gave up 1 run.